destroyed, so don't try to comfort me. The Lord All-Powerful had chosen a time for noisy shouts and confusion to fill Vision Valley, and for everyone to beg the mountains for help. The people of Elam and Kerr attacked with chariots and carried shields. Your most beautiful valleys were covered with chariots. Your cities were surrounded by cavalry troops. Judah was left defenseless. At that time, you trusted in the weapons you had stored in Forest Palace. You saw the holes in the outer wall of Jerusalem, and you brought water from the lower pool. You counted the houses in Jerusalem and tore down some of them so you could get stones to repair the city wall. Then you built a large tank between the walls to store the water. But you refused to trust the God who planned this long ago and made it happen. A time to weep. When all of this happened, the Lord All-Powerful told you to weep and mourn, to shave your heads and wear sackcloth. But instead, you celebrated by feasting on beef and lamb and by drinking wine, because you said, "Let's eat and drink. Tomorrow we may die." The Lord All-Powerful has spoken to me this solemn promise. I won't forgive them for this, not as long as they live. Selfish officials are doomed. The Lord All-Powerful is sending you with this message for Shebna, the Prime Minister. Shebna, what gives you the right to have a tomb carved out of rock in this burial place of royalty? None of your relatives are buried here. You may be powerful, but the Lord is about to snatch you up and throw you away. He will roll you into a ball and throw you into a wide-open country, where you will die and your chariots will be destroyed. You're a disgrace to those you serve. The Lord is going to take away your job. He will give your official robes and your authority to his servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. Eliakim will be like a father to the people of Jerusalem and to the royal family of Judah. The Lord will put him in charge of the key that belongs to King David's family. No one will be able to unlock what he locks, and no one will be able to lock what he unlocks. The Lord will make him as firm in his position as a tent peg hammered in the ground, and Eliakim will bring honor to his family. His children and relatives will be supported by him, like pans hanging from a peg on the wall. That peg is fastened firmly now, but some day it will be shaken loose and fall down. Then everything that was hanging on it will be destroyed. This is what the Lord All-Powerful has promised. The city of Tyre will be punished. Chapter 23. This is a message from distant islands about the city of Tyre. Cry, you sea-going ships. Tyre and its houses lie in ruins. Mourn in silence, you shop owners of Sidon, you people on the coast. Your sailors crossed oceans, making your city rich. Your merchants sailed the seas, making you wealthy by trading with nation after nation. They brought back grain that grew along the Nile. Sidon, you are a mighty fortress built along the sea, but you will be disgraced like a married woman who never had children. When Egypt hears about Tyre, it will tremble. All of you along the coast had better cry and sail far across the ocean. Can this be the happy city that has stood for centuries? Its people have spread to distant lands. Its merchants were kings honored all over the world. Who planned to destroy Tyre? The Lord All-Powerful planned it to bring shame and disgrace to those who are honored by everyone on earth. People of Tyre, your harbor is destroyed. You will have to become farmers just like the Egyptians. Tyre will be forgotten. The Lord's hand has reached across the sea, upsetting the nations. He has given a command to destroy fortresses in the land of Canaan. The Lord has said to the people of Sidon, "Your celebrating is over. You are crushed. Even if you escape to Cyprus, you won't find peace. Look what the Assyrians have done to Babylonia. They have attacked, destroying every palace in the land. Now wild animals live among the ruins. Not a fortress will be left standing. So tell all the seagoing ships to mourn. The city of Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, which is the lifetime of a king. Then Tyre will be like that evil woman in the song, 'You're gone and forgotten, you evil woman.' So strut through the town, singing and playing your favorite tune, to be remembered again. At the end of those 70 years, the Lord will let Tyre get back into business. The city will be like a woman who sells her body to everyone of every nation on earth, but none of what is earned will be kept in the city. That money will belong to the Lord, and it will be used to buy more than enough food and good clothes for those who worship the Lord. The earth will be punished." Chapter 24. The Lord is going to twist the earth out of shape and turn it into a desert. Everyone will be scattered, including ordinary people and priests, slaves and slave owners, buyers and sellers, lenders and borrowers, the rich and the poor. The earth will be stripped bare and left that way. This is what the Lord has promised. The earth wilts away, its mighty leaders melt to nothing. The earth is polluted because its people disobeyed the laws of God, breaking their agreement that was to last forever. The earth is under a curse. Its people are dying out because of their sins. Grapevines have dried up. Wine is almost gone. Mournful sounds are heard instead of joyful shouts. No one plays tambourines or stringed instruments. All noisy celebrating has come to an end. They no longer sing as they drink their wine, and it tastes sour. Towns are crushed and in chaos. Houses are locked tight. Happy times have disappeared from the earth, and people shout in the streets, "We're out of wine!" Cities are destroyed. Their gates are torn down. Nations will be stripped bare, like olive trees or vineyards, after the harvest season. Praise the God of justice. People in the West shout, they joyfully praise the majesty of the Lord. And so, everyone in the East and those on the islands should praise the Lord, the God of Israel. From all over the world, songs of praise are heard for the God of justice. But I feel awful. Terribly miserable. Can anyone be trusted? So many are treacherous. There's no escape. Terror, traps, and pits are waiting for everyone. If you are terrified and run, you will fall into a pit. If you crawl out of the pit, you will get caught in a trap. The sky has split apart like a window thrown open. The foundations of the earth have been shaken. The earth is shattered, ripped to pieces. It staggers and shakes like a drunkard or a hut in a windstorm. It is burdened down with sin. The earth will fall, never again to get up. On that day, the Lord will punish the powers in the heavens and the kings of the earth. He will put them in a pit and keep them prisoner. Then, later on, he will punish them. The moon and sun will both be embarrassed and ashamed. The Lord All-Powerful will rule on Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, where he will show its rulers his wonderful glory. A Prayer of Thanks to God. Chapter 25. You, Lord, are my God. I will praise you for doing the wonderful things you had planned and promised since ancient times. You have destroyed the fortress of our enemies, leaving their city in ruins. Nothing in that foreign city will ever be rebuilt. Now strong and cruel nations will fear and honor you. You have been a place of safety for the poor and needy in times of trouble. Brutal enemies pounded us like a heavy rain, or the heat of the sun at noon, but you were our shelter. Those wild foreigners struck like scorching desert heat, but you were like a cloud protecting us from the sun. You kept our enemies from singing songs of victory. The Lord has saved us. On this mountain, the Lord All-Powerful will prepare for all nations a feast of the finest foods. Choice wines and the best meats will be served. Here the Lord will strip away the burial clothes that cover the nations. The Lord All-Powerful will destroy the power of death and wipe away all tears. No longer will his people be insulted everywhere. The Lord has spoken. At that time, people will say, "The Lord has saved us. Let's celebrate. We waited and hoped. Now our God is here." The powerful arm of the Lord will protect this mountain. The Moabites will be put down and trampled on like straw in a pit of manure. They will struggle to get out, but God will humiliate them, no matter how hard they try. The walls of their fortresses will be knocked down and scattered in the dirt. A Song of Victory. Chapter 26. The time is coming when the people of Judah will sing this song. Our city is protected. The Lord is our fortress, and he gives us victory. Open the city gates for a law-abiding nation that is faithful to God. The Lord gives perfect peace to those whose faith is firm. So always trust the Lord, because he is forever our mighty rock. God has put down our enemies in their mountain city and rubbed it in the dirt. Now the poor and abused stomp all over that city. The Lord can be trusted. Our Lord, you always do right, and you make the path smooth for those who obey you. You are the one we trust to bring about justice. Above all else, we want your name to be honored. Throughout the night, my heart searches for you, because your decisions show everyone on this earth how to live right. Even when the wicked are treated with mercy in this land of justice, they do wrong and are blind to your glory, our Lord. Your hand is raised and ready to punish them, but they don't see it. Put them to shame. Show how much you care for us, and throw them into the fire intended for your enemies. You will give us peace, Lord, because everything we have done was by your power. Others have ruled over us besides you, our Lord God, but we obey only you. Those enemies are now dead and can never live again. You have punished them. They are destroyed, completely forgotten. Our nation has grown because of you, our Lord. We have more land than before, and you are honored. The Lord gives life to the dead. When you punished our people, they turned and prayed to you, our Lord. Because of what you did to us, we suffered like a woman about to give birth, but instead of having a child, our terrible pain produced only wind. We have won no victories, and we have no descendants to take over the earth. Your people will rise to life. Tell them to leave their graves and celebrate with shouts. You refresh the earth like morning dew. You give life to the dead. Go inside and lock the doors, my people. Hide there for a little while, until the Lord is no longer angry. The earth and the sea will be punished. The Lord will come out to punish everyone on earth for their sins, and when he does, those who did violent crimes will be known and punished. Chapter 27. On that day, Leviathan, the sea monster, will squirm and try to escape, but the Lord will kill him with a cruel, sharp sword. protection and forgiveness. The Lord said, At that time you must sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, will protect it and always keep it watered. I will guard it day and night to keep it from harm. I am no longer angry, but if it produces thorns, I will go to war against it and burn it to the ground. Yet, if the vineyard depends on me for protection, it will become my friend and be at peace with me. Some day Israel will take root like a vine. It will blossom and bear fruit that covers the earth. I, the Lord, didn't punish and kill the people of Israel as fiercely as I punished and killed their enemies. I carefully measured out Israel's punishment and sent the scorching heat to chase them far away. There's only one way that Israel's sin and guilt can be completely forgiven. They must crush the stones of every pagan altar and place of worship. The Lord will bring his people together. Fortress cities are left like a desert where no one lives. Cattle walk through the ruins, stripping the trees bare. When broken branches fall to the ground, women pick them up to feed the fire. But these people are so stupid that the God who created them will show them no mercy. The time is coming when the Lord will shake the land between the Euphrates River and the border of Egypt, and one by one he will bring all of his people together. A loud trumpet will be heard. Then the people of Israel, who were dragged away to Assyria and Egypt, will return to worship the Lord on his holy mountain in Jerusalem. Samaria will be punished. Chapter 28. The city of Samaria, above a fertile valley, is in for trouble. Its leaders are drunkards who stuff themselves with food and wine. But they will be like flowers that dry up and wilt. Only the Lord is strong and powerful. His mighty hand will strike them down with the force of a hailstorm, or a mighty whirlwind, or an overwhelming flood. Every drunkard in Ephraim takes pride in Samaria, but it will be crushed. Samaria, above a fertile valley, will quickly lose its glory. It will be gobbled down like the first ripe fig at harvest season. When this time comes, the Lord All-Powerful will be a glorious crown for his people who survive. He will see that justice rules and that his people are able to defend their cities. Corrupt leaders will be punished. Priests and prophets stumble because they are drunk. Their minds are too confused to receive God's messages or give honest decisions. Their tables are covered, completely covered with their stinking vomit. You drunken leaders are like babies. How can you possibly understand or teach the Lord's message? You don't even listen. All you hear is senseless sound after senseless sound. So the Lord will speak to his people in strange sounds and foreign languages. He promised you perfect peace and rest, but you refused to listen. Now his message to you will be senseless sound after senseless sound. Then you will fall backwards, injured and trapped. False security is fatal. You rulers of Jerusalem, do nothing but sneer. Now you must listen to what the Lord says. Do you think you have an agreement with death and the world of the dead? Why do you trust in your lies to keep you safe from danger and the mighty flood? And so the Lord says, I'm laying a firm foundation for the city of Zion. It's a valuable cornerstone, proven to be trustworthy. No one who trusts it will ever be disappointed. Justice and fairness will be the measuring lines that help me build. Hailstones and floods will destroy and wash away your shelter of lies. Your agreement with death and the world of the dead will be broken. Then angry, roaring waves will sweep over you. Morning, noon, and night, an overwhelming flood will wash you away. The terrible things that happen will teach you this lesson. Your bed is too short, your blanket too skimpy. The Lord will fiercely attack, as he did at Mount Perazim and in Gibeon Valley. But this time the Lord will do something surprising, not what you expect. So you had better stop sneering, or you will be in worse shape than ever before. I heard the Lord All-Powerful threaten the whole country with destruction. All wisdom comes from the Lord. Pay close attention to what I am saying. Farmers don't just plow and break up the ground. When a field is ready, they scatter the seeds of dill and cumin. They plant the seeds of wheat and barley in the proper places. They learn this from their God. After dill and cumin have been harvested, the stalks are pounded, not run over with a wagon. Wheat and barley are pounded, but not beaten to pulp. They are run over with a wagon, but not ground to dust. This wonderful knowledge comes from the Lord All-Powerful, who has such great wisdom. Jerusalem will suffer. The Lord said, Chapter 29. Jerusalem, city of David, the place of my altar, you are in for trouble. Celebrate your festivals year after year. I will still make you suffer, and your people will cry when I make an altar of you. I will surround you and prepare to attack from all sides. From deep in the earth you will call out for help, with only a faint whisper. Then your cruel enemies will suddenly be swept away like dust in a windstorm. I, the Lord All-Powerful, will come to your rescue with a thundering earthquake and a fiery whirlwind. Every brutal nation that attacks Jerusalem and makes it suffer will disappear like a dream when night is over. Those nations that attack Mount Zion will suffer from hunger and thirst. They will dream of food and drink, but wake up weary and hungry and thirsty as ever. Prophets who fool themselves. Be shocked and stunned, you prophets. Refuse to see. Get drunk and stagger, but not from wine. The Lord has made you drowsy. He put you into a deep sleep and covered your head. Now his message is like a sealed letter to you. Some of you say, "We can't read it because it's sealed." Others say, "We can't read it because we don't know how to read." The Lord has said, "These people praise me with their words, but they never really think about me. They worship me by repeating rules made up by humans. So once again, I will do things that shock and amaze them, and I will destroy the wisdom of those who claim to know and understand. You are in for trouble if you try to hide your plans from the Lord, or if you think what you do in the dark can't be seen. You have it all backwards. A clay dish doesn't say to the potter, 'You didn't make me. You don't even know how.'" Hope for the future. Soon the forest of Lebanon will become a field with crops, thick as a forest. The deaf will be able to hear whatever is read to them. The blind will be freed from a life of darkness. The poor and the needy will celebrate and shout because of the Lord, the Holy God of Israel. All who are cruel and arrogant will be gone forever. Those who live by crime will disappear, together with everyone who tells lies in court and keeps innocent people from getting a fair trial. The Lord who rescued Abraham has this to say about Jacob's descendants. They will no longer be ashamed and disgraced. When they see how great I have made their nation, they will praise and honor me, the Holy God of Israel. Everyone who is confused will understand. and all who have complained will obey my teaching. Don't expect help from Egypt. Chapter 30. This is the Lord's message for his rebellious people. You follow your own plans instead of mine. You make treaties without asking me, and you keep on sinning. You trust Egypt for protection, so you refuse my advice and send messengers to Egypt to beg their king for help. You will be disappointed, completely disgraced, for trusting Egypt. The king's power reaches from the city of Zoan as far south as Hanes. But Egypt can't protect you, and to trust that nation is useless and foolish. This is a message about the animals of the southern desert. You people carry treasures on donkeys and camels. You travel to a feeble nation through a troublesome desert filled with lions and flying fiery dragons. Egypt can't help you. That's why I call that nation a helpless monster. Israel refuses to listen. The Lord told me to write down his message for his people so that it would be there forever. They have turned against the Lord and can't be trusted. They have refused his teaching and have said to his messengers and prophets, "Don't tell us what God has shown you, and don't preach the truth. Just say what we want to hear, even if it's false. Stop telling us what God has said. We don't want to hear any more about the holy God of Israel." Now this is the answer of the holy God of Israel. You rejected my message, and you trust in violence and lies. This sin is like a crack that makes a high wall quickly crumble and shatter like a crushed bowl. There's not a piece left big enough to carry hot coals or to dip out water. Trust the Lord. The Holy Lord God of Israel had told all of you, "I will keep you safe if you turn back to me and calm down. I will make you strong if you quietly trust me." Then you stubbornly said, "No, we will safely escape on speedy horses." But those who chase you will be even faster. As few as 5 of them, or even 1, will be enough to chase 1,000 of you. Finally, all that will be left will be a few survivors, as lonely as a flagpole on a barren hill. The Lord will show mercy. The Lord God is waiting to show how kind he is, and to have pity on you. The Lord always does right. He blesses those who trust him. People of Jerusalem, you don't need to cry any more. The Lord is kind, and as soon as he hears your cries for help, he will come. The Lord has given you trouble and sorrow as your food and drink, but now you will again see the Lord, your teacher, and he will guide you. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice saying, "This is the road, now follow it." Then you will treat your idols of silver and gold like garbage. You will throw them away like filthy rags. The Lord will send rain to water the seeds you have planted. Your fields will produce more crops than you need, and your cattle will graze in open pastures. Even the oxen and donkeys that plow your fields will be fed the finest grain. On that day, people will be slaughtered and towers destroyed, but streams of water will flow from high hills and towering mountains. Then the Lord will bandage his people's injuries and heal the wounds he has caused. The moon will shine as bright as the sun, and the sun will shine 7 times brighter than usual. It will be like the light of 7 days all at once. Assyria will be punished. The Lord is coming from far away with his fiery anger and thick clouds of smoke. His angry words flame up like a destructive fire. He breathes out a flood that comes up to the neck. He sifts the nations and destroys them. Then he puts a bridle in every foreigner's mouth and leads them to doom. The Lord's people will sing as they do when they celebrate a religious festival at night. The Lord is Israel's mighty rock, and his people will be as happy as they are when they follow the sound of flutes to the mountain where he is worshipped. The Lord will get furious. His fearsome voice will be heard, his arm will be seen ready to strike, and his anger will be like a destructive fire, followed by thunderstorms and hailstones. When the Assyrians hear the Lord's voice and see him striking with his iron rod, they will be terrified. He will attack them in battle, and each time he strikes them, it will be to the music of tambourines and harps. Long ago, the Lord got a place ready for burning the body of the dead king. The place for the fire is deep and wide. The wood is piled high, and the Lord will start the fire by breathing out flaming sulfur. Don't trust the power of Egypt. Chapter 31. You are in for trouble if you go to Egypt for help, or if you depend on an army of chariots or a powerful cavalry. Instead, you should depend on and trust the Holy Lord God of Israel. The Lord isn't stupid. He does what he promises, and he can bring doom. If you are cruel yourself or help those who are evil, you will be destroyed. The Egyptians are mere humans. They aren't God. Their horses are made of flesh. They can't live forever. When the Lord shows his power, he will destroy the Egyptians and all who depend on them. Together they will fall. The Lord All-Powerful said to me, I will roar and attack like a fearless lion, not frightened by the shouts of shepherds trying to protect their sheep. That's how I will come down and fight on Mount Zion. I, the Lord All-Powerful, will protect Jerusalem like a mother bird circling over her nest. Come back to the Lord. People of Israel, come back. You have completely turned from the Lord. The time is coming when you will throw away your idols of silver and gold made by your sinful hands. The Assyrians will be killed, but not by the swords of humans. Their young men will try to escape, but they will be captured and forced into slavery. Their fortress will fall when terror strikes. Their army officers will be frightened and run from the battle. This is what the Lord has said, the Lord whose fiery furnace is built on Mount Zion. Justice will rule. Chapter 32. A king and his leaders will rule with justice. They will be a place of safety from stormy winds, a stream in the desert, and a rock that gives shade from the heat of the sun. Then everyone who has eyes will open them and see, and those who have ears will pay attention. All who are impatient will take time to think. Everyone who stutters will talk clearly. Fools will no longer be highly respected, and crooks won't be given positions of honor. Fools talk foolishness. They always make plans to do sinful things, to lie about the Lord, to let the hungry starve, and to keep water from those who are thirsty. Cruel people tell lies. They do evil things and make cruel plans to destroy the poor and needy, even when they beg for justice. But helpful people can always be trusted to make helpful plans. Punishment for the women of Jerusalem. Listen to what I say, you women who are carefree and careless. You may not have worries now, but in about a year the grape harvest will fail and you will tremble. Shake and shudder, you women without a care. Strip off your clothes, put on sackcloth. Slap your breasts in sorrow because of what happened to the fruitful fields and vineyards, and to the happy homes in Jerusalem. The land of my people is covered with thorns. The palace will be deserted, the crowded city empty. Fortresses and towers will forever become playgrounds for wild donkeys and pastures for sheep. God's Spirit makes the difference. When the Spirit is given to us from heaven, deserts will become orchards thick as fertile forests. Honesty and justice will prosper there, and justice will produce lasting peace and security. You, the Lord's people, will live in peace, calm and secure, even if hailstones flatten forests and cities. You will have God's blessing as you plant your crops beside streams, while your donkeys and cattle roam freely about. Jerusalem will be safe. Chapter 33. You defeated my people. Now you're in for trouble. You've never been destroyed, but you will be destroyed. You've never been betrayed, but you will be betrayed. When you have finished destroying and betraying, you will be destroyed and betrayed in return. Please, Lord, be kind to us. We depend on you. Make us strong each morning, and come to save us when we are in trouble. Nations scatter when you roar and show your greatness. We attack our enemies like swarms of locusts. We take everything that belongs to them. You, Lord, are above all others, and you live in the heavens. You have brought justice and fairness to Jerusalem. You are the foundation on which we stand today. You always save us and give true wisdom and knowledge. Nothing means more to us than obeying you. The Lord will do something. Listen, our bravest soldiers are running through the streets, screaming for help. Our messengers hoped for peace, but came home crying. No one travels anymore. Every road is empty. Treaties are broken, and no respect is shown to any who keep promises. Fields are dry and barren. Mount Lebanon wilts with shame. Sharon Valley is a desert. The forests of Bashan and Carmel have lost their leaves. But the Lord says, "Now I will do something and be greatly praised. Your deeds are straw that will be set on fire by your very own breath. You will be burned to ashes like thorns in a fire. Everyone, both far and near, come look at what I have done. See my mighty power." Punishment and rewards. Those terrible sinners on Mount Zion tremble as they ask in fear, "How can we possibly live where a raging fire never stops burning?" But there will be rewards for those who live right and tell the truth, for those who refuse to take money by force or accept bribes, for all who hate murder and violent crimes. They will live in a fortress high on a rocky cliff, where they will have food and plenty of water. The Lord is our King. With your own eyes you will see the glorious King. You will see his kingdom reaching far and wide. Then you will ask yourself, "Where are those officials who terrified us and forced us to pay such heavy taxes?" You will never again have to see the proud people who spoke a strange and foreign language you could not understand. Look to Mount Zion, where we celebrate our religious festivals. You will see Jerusalem secure as a tent, with pegs that cannot be pulled up, and fastened with ropes that can never be broken. Our wonderful Lord will be with us. There will be deep rivers and wide streams, safe from enemy ships. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our judge and our ruler. The Lord is our King and will keep us safe. But your nation is a ship with its rigging loose, its mast shaky, and its sail not spread. Some day even you that are lame will take everything you want from your enemies. The Lord will forgive your sins and none of you will say, I feel sick. The nations will be judged. Chapter 34. Everyone of every nation, the entire earth and all of its creatures, come here and listen. The Lord is terribly angry with the nations. He has condemned them to be slaughtered. Their dead bodies will be left to rot and stink. Their blood will flow down the mountains. Each star will disappear. The sky will roll up like a scroll. Everything in the sky will dry up and wilt like leaves on a vine or fruit on a tree. Trouble for Edom. After the sword of the Lord has done what it wants to the skies above, it will come down on Edom, the nation that the Lord has doomed for destruction. The sword of the Lord is covered with blood from lambs and goats, together with fat from kidneys of rams. This is because the Lord will slaughter many people and make a sacrifice of them in the city of Bozra and everywhere else in Edom. Edom's leaders are wild oxen. They are powerful bulls, but they will die with the others. Their country will be soaked with their blood, and its soil made fertile with their fat. The Lord has chosen the year and the day when he will take revenge and come to Zion's defense. Edom's streams will turn into tar, and its soil into sulfur. Then the whole country will go up in flames. It will burn night and day and never stop smoking. Edom will be a desert, generation after generation. No one will ever travel through that land. Owls, hawks, and wild animals will make it their home. God will leave it in ruins, merely a pile of rocks. The end of Edom. Edom will be called Kingdom of Nothing. Its rulers will also be nothing. Its palaces and fortresses will be covered with thorns. Only wolves and ostriches will make their home there. Wildcats and hyenas will hunt together. Demons will scream to demons. And creatures of the night will live among the ruins. Owls will nest there to raise their young among its shadows, while families of buzzards circle around. In the book of the Lord, you can search and find where it is written, The Lord brought together all of his creatures by the power of his Spirit. Not one is missing. The Lord has decided where they each should live. They will be there forever, generation after generation. God's splendor will be seen. Chapter 35. Thirsty deserts will be glad, barren lands will celebrate and blossom with flowers. Deserts will bloom everywhere and sing joyful songs. They will be as majestic as Mount Lebanon, as glorious as Mount Carmel or Sharon Valley. Everyone will see the wonderful splendor of the Lord our God. God changes everything. Here is a message for all who are weak, trembling, and worried. Cheer up. Don't be afraid. Your God is coming to punish your enemies. God will take revenge on them and rescue you. The blind will see, and the ears of the deaf will be healed. Those who were lame will leap around like deer. Tongues once silent will begin to shout. Water will rush through the desert, scorching sand will turn into a lake, and thirsty ground will flow with fountains. Grass will grow in wetlands, where packs of wild dogs once made their home. God's Sacred Highway. A good road will be there, and it will be named God's Sacred Highway. It will be for God's people. No one unfit to worship God will walk on that road, and no fools can travel on that highway. No lions or other wild animals will come near that road. Only those the Lord has saved will travel there. The people the Lord has rescued will come back singing as they enter Zion. Happiness will be a crown they will always wear. They will celebrate and shout, because all sorrows and worries will be gone far away. The Assyrians surround Jerusalem. Chapter 36. Hezekiah had been king of Judah for 14 years, when King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded the country and captured every walled city except Jerusalem. The Assyrian king ordered his army commander to leave the city of Lachish and to take a large army to Jerusalem. The commander went there and stood on the road near the clothmaker's shops along the canal from the upper pool. Three of the king's highest officials came out of Jerusalem to meet him. One of them was Hilkiah's son, Eliakim, who was the prime minister. The other two were Shebna, assistant to the prime minister, and Joah, son of Asaph, keeper of the government records. The Assyrian commander told them, "I have a message for Hezekiah from the great king of Assyria. Ask Hezekiah why he feels so sure of himself. Does he think he can plan and win a war with nothing but words? Who is going to help him now that he has turned against the king of Assyria? Is he depending on Egypt and its king? That's the same as leaning on a broken stick, and it will go right through his hand. Is Hezekiah now depending on the Lord your God? Didn't Hezekiah tear down all except one of the Lord's altars and places of worship? Didn't he tell the people of Jerusalem and Judah to worship at that one place? The king of Assyria wants to make a bet with you people. He will give you 2,000 horses if you have enough troops to ride them. How could you even defeat our lowest-ranking officer when you have to depend on Egypt for chariots and cavalry? Don't forget that it was the Lord who sent me here with orders to destroy your nation." Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said, "Sir, we don't want the people listening from the city wall to understand what you are saying, so please speak to us in Aramaic instead of Hebrew." The Assyrian army commander answered, "My king sent me to speak to everyone, not just to you leaders. These people will soon have to eat their own body waste and drink their own urine, and so will the three of you." Then, in a voice loud enough for everyone to hear, he shouted out in Hebrew, "Listen to what the great king of Assyria says. Don't be fooled by Hezekiah. He can't save you. Don't trust him when he tells you that the Lord will protect you from the king of Assyria. Stop listening to Hezekiah. Pay attention to my king. Surrender to him. He will let you keep your own vineyards, fig trees, and cisterns for a while. Then he will come and take you away to a country just like yours, where you can plant vineyards and raise your own grain. Hezekiah claims the Lord will save you, but don't be fooled by him. Were any other gods able to defend their land against the king of Assyria? What happened to the gods of Hamath, Arpad, and Sepharvaim? Were the gods of Samaria able to protect their land against the Assyrian forces? None of these gods kept their people safe from the king of Assyria. Do you think the Lord your God can do any better?" Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah had been warned by King Hezekiah not to answer the Assyrian commander. So they tore their clothes in sorrow and reported to Hezekiah everything the commander had said. Hezekiah asks Isaiah for advice. Chapter 37. As soon as Hezekiah heard the news, he tore off his clothes in sorrow and put on sackcloth. Then he went into the temple of the Lord. He told Prime Minister Eliakim, Assistant Prime Minister Shebna, and the senior priests to dress in sackcloth and tell me, "Isaiah, these are difficult and disgraceful times. Our nation is like a woman too weak to give birth. when it's time for her baby to be born. Please pray for those of us who are left alive. The king of Assyria sent his army commander to insult the living God. Perhaps the Lord heard what he said and will do something if you will pray. When these leaders came to me, I told them that the Lord had this message for Hezekiah. I am the Lord. Don't worry about the insulting things that have been said about me by these messengers from the king of Assyria. I will upset him with rumors about what's happening in his own country. He will go back, and there I will make him die a violent death. Meanwhile, the commander of the Assyrian forces heard that his king had left the town of Lachish and was now attacking Libna, so he went there. About this same time, the king of Assyria learned that King Tirhaka of Ethiopia was on his way to attack him. Then the king of Assyria sent some messengers with this note for Hezekiah. Don't trust your God or be fooled by his promise to defend Jerusalem against me. You have heard how we Assyrian kings have completely wiped out other nations. What makes you feel so safe? The Assyrian kings before me destroyed the towns of Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and everyone from Eden who lived in Telasser. What good did their gods do them? The kings of Hamath, Arpad, Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva have all disappeared. Hezekiah prays. After Hezekiah had read the note from the king of Assyria, he took it to the temple and spread it out for the Lord to see. Then he prayed, Lord God, all-powerful of Israel, your throne is above the winged creatures. You created the heavens and the earth, and you alone rule the kingdoms of this world. Just look and see how Sennacherib has insulted you, the living God. It is true, our Lord, that Assyrian kings have turned nations into deserts. They destroyed the idols of wood and stone that the people of those nations had made and worshipped. But you are our Lord and our God. We ask you to keep us safe from the Assyrian king. Then everyone in every kingdom on earth will know that you are the only Lord. Isaiah gives the Lord's answer to Hezekiah. I went to Hezekiah and told him that the Lord God of Israel had said, Hezekiah, you prayed to me about King Sennacherib of Assyria. Now this is what I say to that king. The people of Jerusalem hate and make fun of you. They laugh behind your back. Sennacherib, you cursed, shouted, and sneered at me, the holy God of Israel. You let your officials insult me, the Lord. And here is what you have said about yourself. I led my chariots to the highest heights of Lebanon's mountains. I went deep into its forest, cutting down the best cedar and cypress trees. I dried up every stream in the land of Egypt, and I drank water from wells I had dug. Sennacherib, now listen to me, the Lord. I planned all of this long ago, and you don't even know that I alone am the one who decided that you would do these things. I let you make ruins of fortified cities. Their people became weak, terribly confused. They were like wild flowers, or like tender young grass growing on a flat roof, or like a field of grain before it matures. I know all about you, even how fiercely angry you are with me. I have seen your pride and the tremendous hatred you have for me. Now I will put a hook in your nose, a bit in your mouth. Then I will send you back to where you came from. Hezekiah, I will tell you what's going to happen. This year you will eat crops that grow on their own, and the next year you will eat whatever springs up where those crops grew. But the third year you will plant grain and vineyards, and you will eat what you harvest. Those who survive in Judah will be like a vine that puts down deep roots and bears fruit. I, the Lord All-Powerful, will see to it that some who live in Jerusalem will survive. I promise that the king of Assyria won't get into Jerusalem, or shoot an arrow into the city, or even surround it and prepare to attack. As surely as I am the Lord, he will return by the way he came, and will never enter Jerusalem. I will protect it for the sake of my own honor, and because of the promise I made to my servant David. The death of King Sennacherib. The Lord sent an angel to the camp of the Assyrians, and he killed 185,000 of them all in one night. The next morning, the camp was full of dead bodies. After this, King Sennacherib went back to Assyria and lived in the city of Nineveh. One day, he was worshipping in the temple of his god Nisroch, when his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with their swords. They escaped to the land of Ararat, and his son Esarhaddon became king. Hezekiah gets sick and almost dies. Chapter 38. About this time, Hezekiah got sick and was almost dead. So I went in and told him, "The Lord says you won't ever get well. You are going to die, and so you had better start doing what needs to be done." Hezekiah turned toward the wall and prayed, "Don't forget that I have been faithful to you, Lord. I have obeyed you with all my heart, and I do whatever you say is right." After this, he cried hard. Then the Lord sent me with this message for Hezekiah. "I am the Lord God, who was worshipped by your ancestor David. I heard you pray, and I saw you cry. I will let you live 15 years more, while I protect you and your city from the king of Assyria. Now I will prove to you that I will keep my promise. Do you see the shadow made by the setting sun on the stairway built for King Ahaz? I will make the shadow go back 10 steps. Then the shadow went back 10 steps. King Hezekiah's Song of Praise. This is what Hezekiah wrote after he got well. "I thought I would die during my best years and stay as a prisoner forever in the world of the dead. I thought I would never again see you, my Lord, or any of the people who live on this earth. My life was taken from me like the tent that a shepherd pulls up and moves. You cut me off like thread from a weaver's loom. You make a wreck of me day and night. Until morning came, I thought you would crush my bones just like a hungry lion. Both night and day you make a wreck of me. I cry like a swallow. I mourn like a dove. My eyes are red from looking to you, Lord. I am terribly abused. Please come and help me. There's nothing I can say in answer to you, since you are the one who has done this to me. My life has turned sour. I will limp until I die. Your words and your deeds bring life to everyone, including me. Please make me healthy and strong again. It was for my own good that I had such hard times, but your love protected me from doom in the deep pit, and you turned your eyes away from my sins. No one in the world of the dead can thank you or praise you. None of those in the deep pit can hope for you to show them how faithful you are. Only the living can thank you, as I am doing today. Each generation tells the next about your faithfulness. You, Lord, will save me, and every day that we live, we will sing in your temple to the music of stringed instruments." Isaiah's advice to Hezekiah. I had told King Hezekiah's servants to put some mashed figs on the king's open sore, and he would get well. Then Hezekiah asked for proof that he would again worship in the Lord's temple. Isaiah speaks the Lord's message to Hezekiah. Chapter 39. Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, was now king of Babylonia. And when he learned that Hezekiah was well, he sent messengers with letters and a gift for him. Hezekiah welcomed the messengers and showed them all the silver, the gold, the spices, and the fine oils that were in his storehouse. He even showed them where he kept his weapons. Nothing in his palace or in his entire kingdom was kept hidden from them. I asked Hezekiah, "Where did these men come from? What did they want?" "They came all the way from Babylonia," Hezekiah answered. "What did you show them?" I asked. Hezekiah answered, "I showed them everything in my kingdom." Then I told Hezekiah, "I have a message for you from the Lord All-Powerful. One day everything you and your ancestors have stored up will be taken to Babylonia. The Lord has promised that nothing will be left. Some of your own sons will be taken to Babylonia, where they will be disgraced and made to serve in the king's palace." Hezekiah thought, "At least our nation will be at peace for a while." So he told me, "The message you brought from the Lord is good." Encourage God's people. Chapter 40. Our God has said, "Encourage my people, give them comfort. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and announce your slavery is past, your punishment is over. I, the Lord, made you pay double for your sins." Someone is shouting, "Clear a path in the desert. Make a straight road for the Lord our God. Fill in the valleys. Flatten every hill and mountain. Level the rough and rugged ground. Then the glory of the Lord will appear for all to see. The Lord has promised this." Someone told me to shout, and I asked, "What should I shout? We humans are merely grass, and we last no longer than wildflowers. At the Lord's command,